The best place to go for all of your online shopping needs is Amazon.com. You might find a number of products there. Some are 80-20% off. Some are like 70-30% off. There's so many great deals. You won't know which way is up when you start shopping on Amazon.com. So get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast. Whenever you start your shopping with our links, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon.ca. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who's riddled with embarrassment of being a full-time podcaster, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our chat about King of the Nerds, week number 2, season 3. And we had a very fun episode to talk about here tonight on our King of the Nerds wrap-up. And here I am talking with two of the nerdiest guys I know about King of the Nerds. First, here is Mr. Brendan Noel. Brendan, how are you?
I am excellent, Rob. Like you said, great episode tonight. I'm ready to knock this podcast out of the water.
Out of the water.
Wait, hold on. That's not the saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that not the expression? I don't know sport ball.
Yes. Okay, and of course, we are joined by a man who watched the King of the Nerds premiere 4 times this week. Here is Mr. Mark Solera. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Brendan and Rob, I would just like to offer you guys a Secret 3 alliance.
Secret 3 alliance, that's good.
I don't know, I'm not so keen on this alliance idea. I don't know about this.
Yeah, the King of the Nerds cast seems to be, while we have some people who are pro-alliance, there's some people, it's almost like the first season of Survivor, that there's some people like, alliance, I don't know about this. Will it work? Like, yes.
It's interesting that this is the first alliances, I think, especially cross-team alliances has really come up on King of the Nerds. But yeah, it's not like there haven't been 15 years of Survivor and Big Brother to use a sort of precedence for this. Not so sure what Ben is thinking here.
Yes, the alliances should work. Yes, you could get screwed, but for the short term, the alliances do tend to work. All right, so we have a lot to talk about here tonight as Thomas, very little Gollum tonight and no more Gollum or Brony talk going forward. So that's going to be a bummer, right, Brendan?
No longer our precious. It's
yes.
Quite tragic.
Mark, can you do a Gollum voice to fill the void?
Thomas is gone now.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's pretty good. How about that?
All right,
good. So now we have a go-to for two. So we don't even need Thomas anymore.
Good riddance.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. We're going to miss him.
So we have a lot of stuff to get to. Very excited to talk about King of the Nerds from tonight. Real quick, before we get into it, I have one nerdy thing to tell you guys about in the audience, that the Rob Has a Podcast app, which allows you to listen to all of the episodes of Rob Has a Podcast and post-show recaps, our scripted TV podcast, and our other reality TV podcasts, which are not hosted by me on reality TV wrap-ups, are all available on our new Android app. The iOS app had been out, I think, since October, November, and now our Android app is available. So if you want to get on board, it is free. It is in the Google Play Store. Do they call it a Play Store for the Android apps?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm more sort of 80-20 on my Android use. I sort of lean 20% towards Android, but 80% with Apple.
Okay. So, all right, you can get that. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Android and check that out. Also, we are in the running for some podcast awards for this year gone by, but we need your help to get nominated. If you go ahead and go to podcastawards.com, we would very much appreciate it if you could go ahead and put on your nominating costumes and nominate Rob Has a Podcast in the entertainment and people's choice categories. And then post with the URL of robhasawebsite.com over at podcastawards.com. You post the name of the show and then the URL, and then you're done. Boom. Very simple. Okay. So let's talk about tonight's show, where it was a cosplay competition. We had our teams making costumes. We had our teams putting on a play with a moral to it. Is Jebediah Rahapkinson available to tell us what he thought of the two plays tonight?
Both plays were easily the worst in the history of theater, Rob.
Yes. Why? I thought they were good.
I have reviewed all the cosplay challenges from all three seasons of King of the Nerds, and I am not impressed.
No, come on. Come on. This was good. It was such good morals. We learned so much. You accept people.
gotta love morals in a cosplay competition.
Yes, it was cosplay, and we had to go ahead and learn from it also. And it was a big letdown because we had some cosplay experts. Mark, could you run down the credentials for Lily on Team Huluvu?
The way that she describes herself, she is a professional like cosplayer, I guess would be the best way to say it.
And so what does a professional cosplayer do? They said that she was doing stuff with like Game of Thrones.
Like if you've seen the shows like Game of Thrones and any type of like nerdy show, she will basically recreate the costumes and then go to conventions and dress up as these people.
Okay. And people pay her to do that? Like yeah. She gets paid to dress people up or she gets paid to go and dress up?
I think she gets paid to go and dress up. Like my understanding is that you go to these conventions and a lot of the times they have contests where there's prize money for cosplaying. So I think in that sense, she's a cosplayer. I don't think that cosplaying is necessarily her 9-to-5 job, but yes, that's how she makes money off it, is my understanding.
And another way to make a living off of cosplaying, which I believe Yaya Han's real, that's where she makes her bread and butter, is doing a calendar.
Like, yes.
Like people will pre-order her calendar where she's dressing up as these different like cartoon characters or anime characters or movie characters.
That seems like such an old like idea to make money for a modern sort of time. Like you wouldn't think that in 2015, a like print calendar would be a particularly lucrative business, but I guess it must be. Because I'm a big fan of the YouTuber Comic Book Girl 19. I know she does a calendar also.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need a Rob has a podcast calendar?
Absolutely. I can't believe we don't have one already. And now you kind of dropped the ball. Now we got to wait 11 months to get it.
No, it takes a long time to shoot it.
Rob, would it just be you in 12 different poses?
I think that maybe, I guess it could either be just me in all these different poses, or it could be, you know, all different people from the RHAP universe. That could be, you could do it either way, or it could be a cosplay calendar of me in different costumes.
What month is Kirk Clark?
Well, I've said Kirk Clark is Mr. January because he gets everything ready for Miss Survivor and Mr. Survivor.
He's Mr. Manuary.
Yeah. So it really seemed like what the narrative was that we were getting. And it was sort of, in some ways, I felt like this was really like a celebrity apprentice or an apprentice challenge again this week, where we had the two teams and we had the two narratives going, where the one team, Huluvu, they had better costumes, but Team Smash had a better story. And then it was really the debate. What was more important, the story or the costumes? And I'd love to know from you guys, did you agree with the decision tonight? Brendan, what did you think?
To a degree, I did agree with the decision because we were told up front, at least from what Curtis and Bobby told the judges, was that the moral was sort of what they were supposed to be judging the two performances based on more so than anything else. Normally, when you're thinking cosplay, of course, you're thinking of the cause part of cosplay. But yeah, definitely in terms of the moral story, I think that I agree with the win for Team Smash. You know, they all sort of hugged at the end. I think we got an awe from Curtis. So I think that kind of sealed the deal. But in terms of the costumes, I was definitely more impressed with House Huluvu's performance. And if I was Lily and I was a professional cosplayer, or even someone like Rachelle, who takes a lot of pride in that, I would be understandably upset that I didn't win that competition.
Mark, do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. And just to add on to that, I mean, let's be honest, Team Smash had a twerking robot. Can you really beat that? Can you really beat that?
No.
That might have sealed the deal.
That would have sealed the deal for me.
Jonathan was really, really good. I mean, I think that he was the person that carried Team Smash. Absolutely. He was fantastic, Brendan.
Definitely the MVP of this Nerd War. The full on the face paint, even going beyond just the actual robot costume he was wearing. I mean, he really pulled that home for Team Smash, I think.
And I really felt like Team Huluvu, their story, I did think was pretty weak. Mark, could you follow what the story was they were going for?
I was actually about to ask you that, Rob. I did not understand a single thing that was going on with that story.
Brendan?
I didn't really understand the story that was going on for either team. That was another reason that I kind of would have docked the point from Team Smash, is I was not like super impressed with their story. And I mean, every season has people who are not like, cosplaying is not their strength and they don't really get into it. They try and take a back seat. You have people like Kayla last season who just said like, I'm going to sit out. But I don't think we saw anybody really just kind of like not even trying in the way we saw Colby tonight. So I found it hard, to be honest, following both the stories. That might just be my kind of biased uninterest in cosplaying in general. That's just not my area of nerd expertise. But yeah, I was not having an easy time following either story, really.
You have to wonder if that was honestly just like the reduced version of what actually happened. You have to imagine that the challenge probably had like, what, like 10, 15 minutes, and they had to cut it down to fit into the show.
So yeah. True. And even like the 2 minutes that we saw, I mean, it's intercut with the confessionals and with the judges' comments. It's hard. It's impossible to follow what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. For these teams, I'm not sure necessarily that like writing a sketch is necessarily in the strong suit of any of these people. Like, I think had this been like last year, we had a guy like Zach who was like a writer. I don't know if we have anybody on this cast. I'm sure there's somebody, but we don't really have too many people where this is really going to play into what their particular nerd superpower is.
I was just thinking that. I was trying to go through the cast and thinking if anybody was sort of proclaiming themselves as God's gift to writing the way that Zach was last season. And
yes.
I was drawing a blank.
Yes. And we want to try to get Zach back on the podcast at some point this season, because he was so much fun. And I'm sure he's going to have a lot of thoughts about this season. So in the cosplay challenge, since we're so far down talking about this, did anything else stand out to you during this, Brendan?
One thing I thought was interesting was that Ben and Lily kind of took the forefront in the Huluvu challenge. And I don't know, I was kind of, I didn't really see the connection between what we saw from them in the preparations going from the Nerd War to what actually ended up happening on the screen. It almost seemed like from their prep, they were going to be kind of the centerpiece of this. And then they were really glossed over when we actually saw what happened. And again, that could be just a factor in terms of editing that we didn't see, but it looked like, I don't know, they were almost being like the Ken and Barbie of this, this Nerd War. And then at the end, I didn't even really understand. I mean, again, I don't know what the House Huluvu performance was supposed to be about, but I really was confused by this. There was a disconnect there, I think, in terms of the use of Ben and Lily in that challenge, especially since Lily is Queen Cosplay.
You didn't get the whole thing about how Todd was a human and they captured him, but it turned out that Ben was also a human and his name was Hugh Man, and he had to then sort of like throw Todd under the bus because he didn't want anybody to know there was another human on board.
I will say, in terms of the names that come up with their characters, Hugh Man is clever, but I don't think it beats Biff Wellington, which was Todd, or of course Heather as Dr. Windows ME. That was very good.
Okay. All right, so that was a very, very interesting. I did like how they decided to go in this big feud that they were having between Rachel and Lily to talk about what they were doing. They wanted to go in the direction of what would Whedon do?
Sorry, who? Will Whedon?
Will Whedon, yes. Whedon. What would Will Whedon do? Yeah.
I think he would write a lengthy blog post about it.
Yes, yes. I fancy myself like the Will Wheaton of reality TV.
I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty spot
on.
It's fair. Yeah, I mean, he's sort of like there, and you know, there's, you know, guys like, he's always like messing with guys like the real established like Star Trek people.
And also, everyone wants you to shut up all the time.
Yes. Yes. All right. So meanwhile, over on the green team, they had much less discourse in their construction of the event. It was almost like on Huluvu, you know, they had too many people that wanted to get in the mix, where it was much more the Team Smash were sort of like, okay, well, we don't really know what we're doing, so let's just concentrate on the story. What did you think of their approach, Mark?
Especially since they went into the Nerd Off last week, sending home Jacob, I honestly was rather happy to see them come together in a way, because, and especially Ori, I mean, we failed to mention this during the actual cosplay challenge, but Ori's Western accent, it was really, really interesting, really fun.
Ori, but, yeah, it was actually kind of funny in the challenge, considering we saw him just sort of like, I don't know what he was doing, just like swirling around in their little Radio Shack mm-hmm. lab and being distracted by anything he could to try to throw the team off. He actually was pretty good in the performance part and I think contributed to the win, which
especially
the Ori thing. I really just didn't even get what he was doing there. I don't even understand. Like, I know that they're like sort of cutting things for time, but it just seemed like all of a sudden it was like a Western and here's like a green alien guy.
It's maybe it's time we just stop trying to understand what was going on in either story.
All right. We won't think about that too much. All right. So let's go back to the start of the episode. And again, to make that same like Celebrity Apprentice parallel, that I do feel like this season, especially with these teams, I don't remember things being as boozy in previous King of the Nerds season, but it seems like this group really likes to drink. It seems like after the nerd war from last time, or the Nerd Off, then when the teams came back, I feel like that's like that point when they find out like who came back from the boardroom. Like everybody's hanging out, having drinks and partying. Mark, is this the booziest season ever of King of the Nerds?
I mean, it has to be up there. I mean, the closest thing that I would probably put this against is season 2 when Mary Kate and Zach had that altercation.
Yes.
About gravity. So I'm pretty sure this is probably the booziest cast.
Brendan, do you think that this was on the part of the producers that, hey, let's ply these people with more alcohol this season? Or you think that they just always had access to all this alcohol and this just happens to be a group of bigger drinkers?
I wouldn't put it past TBS to say, you know, we want to drive the viewership numbers up. I think one of the ways we can do that is get them some booze and see what happens. I mean, there have been times in the past where there has been drinking. I mean, if people are interested in going back and checking out some of the early seasons, there is a pretty fantastic drunken girl fight in season 1 that I'm not sure it's a fight, but it might be a little bit of a play fight. But that's definitely something to a selling point for the first season. And but yeah, just in the past, like you said, people like Mary Kate, casually you can see them drinking. But no, I think you're right that we never so much had a group of people where they come back from the Nerd Off and it's like, all right, we need something to take the edge off. Let's get some coolers in here.
Yeah, it's almost like King of the Nerds got crossed with like the MTV Challenge at this point. It's really gotten very boozy.
I would like to watch that show.
Yeah. Well, nerds like to drink too, apparently. Not only is this the booziest season, also this is kind of the dirtiest season also, because we get into a lot of sex talk and it's practically like band camp in here because everybody's talking about all these experimental type situations. And we find out that Heather subscribes to the 80-20 rule. Brendan, Heather, we find out, is 80% into girls and 20% into guys.
That's right. We found out, I mean, again, the alcohol starts flowing and suddenly everyone starts revealing their bisexuality almost. It's very interesting. That's not something we have ever seen a discussion that frank before in a season past. So again, if TBS wanted them to open up a little more with the booze, mission accomplished.
Yeah. Wow. This is a very open group. We find out that Heather is 80-20. Amanda, who's married, and we also learn has kids, is 70-30. I forget. I didn't have in my notes. Which was the business end of the 70-30? Mark, did you have that?
I believe it was man 70, women 30.
Man, okay. That sounds right to me.
Okay, so yeah. Almost the inverse of Heather.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay, so this was very interesting. I was trying to think of my percentage. I think I'm probably like, I feel like 99.9 and then probably like 0.1. Like that'd be like a really hot guy. Like with a lot going on,
yeah.
You know. That would probably be like the point one.
Can I bring something up here? So we mentioned that they're talking about their sort of percentages, and Jonathan, I think, says he's 100-0. Was that in response to, was like Todd trying to hit on him? Was that what was happening?
I'm not sure. I don't think we got Todd's percentage.
That was a critical piece of information that was left on the editing floor.
Yeah.
It seems like it was in response to something Todd said, because he says, I'm 100% Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% Todd. And then was that the response that he said, well, I'm 0% then?
I don't know. Todd just seemed... Jonathan revealed that I think that he was 100-0, and Todd seemed disappointed with that response.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Wow.
And boozy.
All right. Well, just staying on the topic of sex and booze on King of the Nerds, who would have thought that that's the dirtiest show that we're talking about right now on Rob Has a Podcast? So, I mean, even like Big Brother rarely gets into these things, especially like on the TV show. So we're talking about later on, where everybody just starts really drinking before we go to the Nerd Off. We start talking about which is the better sex to engage in various activities in, Mark. Really? I thought the King of the Nerds is a family show.
TBS.
You were misled.
Very funny.
Yeah. TBS or TMI? What is this? Wow.
Oh.
Man, this is a really, I know it's why they put it on, you know, 9 p.m. Friday nights. This is
now, frankly, it was in a discussion of if you were to take Polyjuice Potion from the Harry Potter series and turn yourself into a different gender, what would you do? And of course, everyone's answer is immediately to have sex. So there were nerdy undertones to it, but definitely that was a little too hot for TBS, I think.
Wow. Well, you guys were talking about last week that they had these pickup lines that were very dirty for the King of the Nerds. You know, this group, for with the exception, I guess, Thomas, who really can't get a date, they're very likely to drink and very promiscuous, this group.
Poor Thomas. I think Heather's website for him needs to be up and running very soon.
Yeah.
It's actually up and running now.
Yeah, what is the website?
Is it really?
It is girlfriendforthomas.com.
And what could we see on girlfriendforthomas.com?
Oh, my God. I'm on it right now. Look at this.
Oh, my God. Well, what's going on girlfriendforthomas.com?
Well, there are animated GIFs. I think this is like a full-on Tumblr site. This is like, you know, a tribute, a romantic tribute to Thomas. This is impressive.
Wow.
Hashtag pump up the volume.
Pump up the
volume. Thomas volume.
And if you're single out there, ladies, there is a application process that you could go through.
Yeah.
On the website.
Wow. How about that? And is it working?
With enough luck, you could be his precious.
Yes. Yes. All right. Okay. Well, there you go. Well, they're taking applications for Thomas Volum. If you want to check that out, girlfriendforthomas.com. All right. We didn't talk about the celebrity judges this week. Brendan, what did you make of the field of Tara Strong, Yahya Khan, and Billy Boyd?
I thought it was an interesting group. I think more so than last week, everybody had kind of a more obvious nerd credential, even if it didn't totally apply to cosplaying. It was still interesting. I mean, we have Yahya Khan returning for her third season. She's been on each season judging the Nerd War for cosplaying. She is a big person in the field of cosplaying. Is on basically any major convention, she will be there. She's on the sci-fi show Heroes of Cosplay, which my understanding is that is kind of a controversial show in the nerd community for how it portrays cosplayers, but she has a prominent role on that show. We had Billy Boyd, of course, Pippin from The Lord of the Rings, a major cosplaying person. And then we have Tara Strong, who I thought, I mean, you got to get Twilight Sparkle from My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. You got to get it before you send home Thomas Volum. So very good timing on the part of King of the Nerds.
Mark, were you pumped up for Thomas that he got to meet a voice actor from My Little Pony?
Smeagol was very pumped up.
Yes. Yeah. Do they still make new My Little Pony, or it's just there's still watching the old My Little Pony?
I believe they're new episodes.
They're still making new episodes? Where do new episodes of My Little Pony run?
I mean, how would I know where the new My Little Pony episodes are airing?
Okay.
Probably on, I don't know. Are they on Nickelodeon somewhere? They're on a kids channel.
Okay.
Even if they're watched by grown men, they still try to pretend that they're marketing this to children.
Okay. A lot of strategy going on in this episode. We saw in the beginning of the episode that the Women's Alliance was still happening. The Women's Alliance was Amanda, Heather, Lily, and Rachel. And in some ways, that this alliance, similar to almost like the Bomb Squad on Big Brother this past summer, that the four-person alliance expanded to a six-person alliance here. But I don't think it's quite as, you know, when it gets to eight people, that's when it'll reach Bomb Squad proportion. So six, I think, is okay, because even Brad Culpepper, with everything he's got going on this week, would tell you 6 into 10 equals in. And that is the numbers that we're looking at right now. So the women approach now, they want to add two guys to the mix. And the two men that ultimately end up getting added to this mix are Jonathan and Ben, who's a little more reluctant. First off, Brendan, tell me about, what do you make of the alliance here on King of the Nerds?
Well, I mean, definitely, like you said, 6 and 10 is in. You have a numerical advantage. It was almost sort of odd that at the end of the episode, they include this confessional from Rachel basically being like, yep, so we have the numbers and, you know, smell you later, Todd, Colby, and everybody else, you're going to be gone. And that's how the next four episodes are going to go. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, because that would be kind of boring to give that away for the next four episodes. But they definitely have the numbers working to their advantage. Interesting that, yeah, Jonathan is completely on board with this idea. This is almost sort of the reverse, like you said, of when Devin, the gender reversed of Devin trying to pull in the two girls on Big Brother, take him into the beehive room and, you know, bro, you got to be in the bomb squad with us.
Yeah.
So Jonathan's totally on board.
Jonathan,
and then
Ben, I really love your work in the cosplay challenge. You guys had honor. You guys had integrity. You guys would be great additions to the Secret Six.
My God, I didn't realize we had Devin on the line.
You know, look, I know that in that play, you guys look like you were from the planet Devintopia, and really spoke to me. Really worked it in.
Yeah.
Mark, can you tell me about the brilliance of the 3 and 3 from the two teams?
It's absolutely brilliant, because they have a majority. And this is actually, to me, it's really exciting to see people actually think this process out, because the previous two seasons, there wasn't exactly time for this to occur, because unfortunately, not so much in season one, but in season two, there was a good, I would say, pagonging, if you will. So there wasn't exactly time for alliances like this to form. So for it to actually occur, and for it to actually be not like the MJQ, the One World type alliances, it's actually so exciting as a super fan of the show.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Survivor One World, because the format of King of the Nerds is somewhat unique in that you have the two teams living together and ultimately competing against each other. So they're all living in the same house. But the format of King of the Nerds allows for both teams to have an impact in the elimination, where the team that loses votes somebody in, but also the team that wins also votes somebody in to the nerd off at the end of the episode. So this sort of, you know, cross team dynamic, if you make this kind of alliance, you can pick off the bottom people on both groups. You could potentially have one group throw a challenge to make sure that somebody from, actually, yeah, because then you'd get the numbers back on your side. It's like both teams agree, okay, the next two people that go into the nerd off are going to be, you know, Caitlin and Todd no matter what. So Huluvu, you throw the challenge this week. We'll see what ultimately ends up happening as we get closer and closer to it being 3-3. And will one side make a jump earlier? We'll try to screw the other side at 7. But right here at 10, it looks like this is a pretty good plan, Brendan.
It's great. Like I said, almost to the point that I'm concerned that the next episodes might be a little boring. Hopefully there's some dissent among the groups. And from the promo they show for next week, it seems like there will be no shortage of drama in the next episode. So who knows?
Who is the driving force behind this group? Is it Amanda, that we saw her talking strategy in this episode? We know that she's a fan of the Survivor and of the Big Brother. Could it be Amanda is the architect of this? Is she the Devin behind this bomb squad?
Well, that's certainly damning with faint praise. I think that, yeah, Amanda and
or the Caleb.
I,
Who's the the mastermind of the bomb squad?
Yeah, I think in this case, Amanda and Rachel are the mastermind, Devin and Caleb's behind this operation.
Yes. So who's on the outs here? Of course, we have on the Smash, we have Colby and we have Ori. And then on Hulu, it's Caitlin and Todd. Do these four people need to wake up and smell the coffee and get something together? What do you think, Brendan?
I think they definitely do. And if Caitlin doesn't sniff this out soon, I think that all of this editing in terms of her brilliance and, you know, oh, first we found out how great I was at engineering and then I can make Rube Goldberg machines. And now it turns out I'm great at all the nerd offs. Then I think that they are setting her up to look very, very stupid when it turns out that she did not see this super alliance cross team thing come together.
But Mark, she was another person that in this episode that she was talking about, well, I'm just going to tell Thomas what's going on because I think that alliances are stupid. Do you think that because it's her failure to get on board with this, that's going to cost her the game?
I'm actually going to go to Twitter on this because the women actually went to Caitlin about the Women's Alliance and she was like, yeah, no, this is stupid. So you made a really good point there by saying, yeah, it's her failure that if she ends up falling, she didn't either blow up this alliance to everyone else or jump in.
Right. Because as we've talked through on all these shows, Brendan, what is the right move when somebody asks you, do you want to be in the alliance?
I think, don't quote me on this, I think you say yes.
It's maybe very similar to when Zul asks you if you're a god. It's a similar response. Your answer is always yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I'd love to be in your alliance. Thank you. Where do I sign up? Okay. So
I actually have a quick thing.
Yes.
Did you guys like the name Secret Six?
No. Could have been more inspired, much more.
No.
That's that feels, you know, back 15 years back, like the strategy they're trying to emulate.
Yes. And if anybody knows about what things were like 15 years back, it's me. And so yeah, Secret Six, not good. Again, I do not like a number in my alliance name because now you can't go and next week and say, hey, Caitlin, do you want to be in the Secret Six? And then, you know, now it's like the Secret Six plus Caitlin, or now it's the Secret Seven. Who's in the Secret Six? You know, if it's just called like, you know, the Secret Friends, that's a better alliance, even though that's also terrible. Not as problematic as Secret Six.
I only bring this up because this is King of the Nerds. So, of course, the Secret Six is a shout out to the DC comic universe, where there is a group called the Secret Six.
Yes. I bet it works better there.
It definitely works way better there. Way better.
I bet that works better. One of the other things where we had some conflict, of course, after we had the judgment from Yahya Khan, Lily was very upset. And Lily was crying about it. And Lily got into some conflict with Todd the Bod over whether or not she was crying. Brendan, why does Todd care if Lily's going to cry?
Well, I think that it's of Todd's opinion that crying makes the team weak. It causes dissension. It's not going to help them do anything. They need to put their heads down and just push forward and
get
the
nerd
off.
What
is he, a Klingon? Maybe. He might be. I mean, we don't know for sure. Todd the Bod is many things to many people. But of course, as we heard from Lily, crying makes you strong.
Yeah.
If anything was going to make the team better, it's, you know, keep the tears flowing, Lily.
Keep the tears flowing because that puts her more in touch with the emotions that makes her stronger. And that's what I'm going to start telling myself every night when I'm crying before I go to sleep, Mark. I'm getting stronger.
Is that what baby Dominic is doing? That's a strategy. He's trying to get stronger.
Yes, he's getting stronger. That's good. All right. So we are going to vote people into the nerd off. It's very cut and dry for Team Hulu that is going to be Thomas Vollum. Thomas, what do you have to say about going into the nerd off?
Thomas don't like the nerd off.
Yes. It was a tough nerd off because I feel like under normal circumstances, I feel like he would have had the advantage over Caitlin had it been anything remotely nerdy. I think he just sort of like got a bad draw that it just happened to be something that was more of a general trivia than anything in particular. Like, I don't get the sense that Caitlin is too big of a fan of any particular, and maybe I'm way off on this, Mark, but no. I don't think she's a super fan of anything in particular.
From what I know, she really is one of those game bots. She's there to play the game, and that's pretty much all she will share.
Yes.
She seemed very contemptuous of Thomas's interest in My Little Pony during the Nerd War. You know, she had this confessional talking about, like, oh, I'm sure he was so great when he met the voice of, well, I don't know, dark My Little Pony, good My Little Pony. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Who cares? So, yeah. She is great TV, though.
She is. Like I said, I think that could we continue to see a build from her in the next few weeks? Like I compared her last week to Chaos Cass. I think she's going to be really good TV. Yeah. We like good TV. Don't we like good TV?
We like good TV. I like good TV. Mark, you like good TV?
I wish I could do a Brian Lane impression of Sabrina, but no, I can't.
Could you do a Thomas Vollum impression of Sabrina?
I like good TV.
That's actually kind of sounds a lot like Sabrina.
There we go.
That was actually pretty close. All right. So there's some question over who is Team Smash going to vote into the Nerd Off. And there is the Alliance. And you have people like Ben who don't really trust the Alliance. They don't think it's going to work.
Shades of James Ryan.
Shades of James Ryan. That's a Sovereign Six, right?
Yep.
That would have been a better name. Not that many things wouldn't be a better name. But.
Yeah, but ultimately it does work. And Caitlin, who's not in the Girls Alliance, not in the Secret Six, she ends up being the person selected. Now, my question to you guys is, and maybe you know this, Mark, now that they changed the Alliance to the Secret Six with Jonathan and Ben now being in the Secret Six, does the Alliance of four women, is that still the core four, or has the actual Alliance changed?
I mean, I think that's the $64,000 question, is because you would think that that core four would theoretically stay tight. They were the original Alliance, and then Jonathan and Ben were the tag-alongs, except it seems that it was Amanda, Rachel, and Jonathan were the three originally that got together and decided to do this sort of cross-alliance. So they might, maybe that three now becomes sort of a dominating force. So maybe when we get to the point where it's going to become 3-on-3, you start thinking, is it going to be Smash versus Hulu, or is there still cross team thing going on between with Amanda, Rachel, and Jonathan?
Because where King of the Nerds is different than Survivor, we're not going to get down to six, okay, and then we're going to merge, and now it's an individual game. We're going to get down to, you know, let's say it's 3 versus 3, then we're going to play it out, and then it's, 2v2. And so they're going to, you know, take it down to when there's only a couple people left. We're not going to have a merge scenario coming up where anybody is fair game. So that's going to be an interesting distinction as this alliance gets formed. We'll talk about it all in the evolution of King of the Nerds audiobook in 27 more seasons, Mark.
Oh, we could only hope this show goes on for that long.
Yes. All right. So we get to talking about the actual challenge. It's going to be studying for the riddles. And here comes Colby, who is the head studier in chief, that he's going to get these guys ready. What do we think of Colby as a Nerd Off whisperer, Brendan?
How do you study for a riddle challenge like this? Yeah. You could theoretically just sort of scour the internet for popular common riddles. I mean, I don't know if that's what they use. Nothing that they used in the show was anything I'd heard before, but yeah, it's very confusing for Colby to stop and be like, all right, guys, I got this. Riddles are my thing. That's my, at the bottom, you know, it says Colby, Riddle Master. I think that would be a great, a new Chiron for him.
Yeah. And so they're starting to get ready. I believe that Colby was coaching up Thomas this week. He was coaching up the guy who got eliminated last week also.
Jacob. He's 0-2.
Yes.
0-2.
He's the Grim Reaper of Nirvana.
Yes. What did you guys think of the Nerd Off this week? Were you impressed with it, Mark?
I was actually rather impressed with it because most of the Nerd Offs from what I have watched, they seem to be somewhat skill-based, but a lot of them came down to luck, especially some of the more the season 2 stuff. One of the challenges that comes to mind in particular is the challenge between Zach and Nicole where they had to pull the bones. So to me, this is one of the ones that actually tested your skill. And I don't know about you guys, but I think I maybe got one of them right.
Yeah. No, it was tough. Even the one that was on the commercial break where I had 10 minutes or 5 minutes to think about it. I still didn't get that one. Brendan, how did you fare?
Oh, for however many they were. Yeah. This is I'm no Colby Riddle master here.
I think Stars. I think that was the one. I was like, is it Stars? I mean, that seems like really easy. Like, and then after that, you know, it made it seem like those guys got it so quickly, but I wonder if they were like thinking for a couple seconds. But the fact that they both buzzed in so close to each other makes me think it was only a couple seconds.
That was a long production day on the set of King of the Nerds, I think, waiting for them to get these riddles. So
waiting for them to get them right. What'd you think of the people asking the riddles, Mark? Were you impressed with that?
I was impressed that the pom-pom kitty that we've gone to know and love throughout this entire first two seasons actually had a speaking role. If I remember right, Brendan,
She's never really spoken intelligible English before, I don't really think. I think she's maybe cheered, kind of. She is the pom-pom girl. But no, and then certainly this was a different role she's taken on, a little less glamorous, at least in broad terms. But interesting new use for pom-pom kitty.
What did you think of the little, what did they call that? A troll at the end?
Yeah, I guess a troll.
No, that was good. I thought that was the best thing.
Yeah, I thought good characters overall, although I was not such a huge fan of the Minotaur because I was very distracted by his downward pointing nipples. So
yeah, I don't know. I was distracted by the Minotaur. That might be in the 0.1 of my 99.9.
Perhaps, yeah.
Perhaps.
That was, you and Ben.
Yes, very attractive guy. All right, so we ultimately lose Thomas this week. So how disappointed are we to see Thomas go? Brendan, any final thoughts on Thomas?
Interesting guy. I think that he was not a super dynamic character. I would have been interested to see how he handled more the conflict going forward, because I don't think that's something he maybe would have handled well. I don't think he was going to fly off the rails in the way that someone like Zach did, but I just would have been interested to see his role in the show going forward. But in terms of the entertainingness of the nerds, he was maybe not super high up. And I don't know. I think I've heard enough about the Boy Scouts for one day.
Yeah, Mark, I think we got the brony stuff in.
Yeah.
I think we got the Gollum impression a couple times. I think we got everything we needed from Thomas.
I mean, I would have liked to have possibly seen a relationship form between him and Rochelle. But besides that, yeah, we've gotten all we needed from Thomas.
Why? Did you feel like there were sparks there?
Hey, both are bronies.
I guess so. Is Rachel a brony if she is a woman?
I was going to say, are there girl bronies?
I don't think you could be a girl brony.
No, you can't be a girl brony.
You can be a girl brony?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we can be inclusive to all genders. We don't need to leave the girls out.
The bro in brony the operative word?
I don't know. I think Devin would tell you that anybody can be a bro, Rob.
Yeah, anyone can be a bro.
Listen, brony, if you want to be in... If you want to be in the bomb squad, we're going to have bronies. We're going to have women bronies. So I guess so, if you say so. So let's get into some questions that some of our listeners have here talking about King of the Nerds Season 3, Episode 2. This is our good friend Amy, Rahap Recapper, wants to know, do you think that Team Smash actually had an advantage by having 5 team members instead of 6 in a performance challenge? Their performance looked a lot crisper and visually polished to me with only 1 to 3 people in the scene at the time. Did Huluvu have too many cooks in the cosplay?
Too many cooks, too many cooks. No. I think definitely is a good point that, I mean, one of the things I thought was at first kind of a thumbs down for Team Smash is, it seemed like, you know, there were entire members of the team that were not in it at the beginning. Like we saw Ori came out and suddenly this whole space thing with the robot is now Western. And you're like, oh yeah, Ori's on this team. Where did he come from? But I think that might have actually been a better use of the team. It was not so crazy and busy with people on the stage and probably was a contributing factor to the win.
What do you think about this, Mark?
I completely agree, because if I remember Team Huluvu, if I remember their team play correctly, can you either of you remember what Thomas did at all?
The reason you don't remember that is because Thomas had some kind of mask or hood on. You weren't seeing his face in the presentation. So he didn't even really get to see his beloved hero, Tara Strong, I don't think. No. Or Thomas.
He heard her.
It was not his night.
He heard her. You got to imagine that there was a pony there.
Yes.
To me, I'm going to say, I think it's NBD. I don't think that having the extra person really was the deciding factor. I think you could just have like another person and just have them sort of just be sort of less like a, you know, set decoration, or just like maybe, you know, you might spend more time on their costume, but I think you could just sort of like have them in the background. I think that the other team just had a better story, and this group sort of had like this convoluted story that really didn't go anywhere. They could have just had like a halfway decent story, and their costumes were so good. I think they would have won the challenge. I just think that they missed the mark by a lot with the story. Not necessarily like their acting wasn't as good. I just think the story was way out there. So I don't know if that's necessarily the reason. But it probably didn't help to have the extra people. Maybe also because you had people like Ori who weren't even involved. That you sort of had like a core group that was able to just communicate better. Maybe it was a little bit of a factor. So let's go ahead and take some more questions. And this is a question from Patrick O'Neill, who wants to know, will this six-person cross-team alliance make the next few weeks too predictable, Mark?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
Yes.
I'm going to say there has to be something, because this is King of the Nerds. This isn't Survivor, where I've gone so used to the editing where I believe that it's going to be very predictable. I have faith in King of the Nerds that there has to be something. Whether Ben just goes off the rails and just doesn't agree with everything, pulling a James Ryan, or if the women break apart. I'm just hoping, but if this alliance sticks together, I really do think it's going to be a very predictable season.
It's my fear that that's what's going to happen, but I do have faith that, if there's a show that could maybe find a way to pull the rug out from under people and have casted people that don't deal well with people having the rug pulled out from under them, that this would be that show. So I'm optimistic. And certainly, like I said, the promo at the end where we really didn't see anything specific other than just something's going down next week and people are not happy. So that's going to be something to watch.
But for me, I don't think it's something that's going to ruin the season. I mean, for me, I don't think that's why we watch King of the Nerds, that it's like, oh, I hope that like, oh, it's a really exciting blindside tonight on King of the Nerds. You watch King of the Nerds because it's a fun show. There's fun characters. You know, it's interesting to see it. You know, the strategy is kind of an afterthought on a show like this. You know, if somebody is really just being targeted week after week, but they keep going into the nerd off a la Zach last season, that's also fun and compelling to watch. So I am not too concerned about the alliance making this, oh, it was like a pagonging. Everybody from that one side just got picked off and it was boring. I think that a show like this, I think it's hard for it to get boring as long as the challenges are interesting and the characters continue to be fun. So I'm not too concerned.
It's a fair point that certainly the characters and storylines and things like that are brought to the forefront of the show more so than the modern day Survivor or what have you. I think that certainly though, I think that eliminating drama, and if they're just gonna have to go to the commercials and men's like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? And we know exactly what's gonna happen. That's certainly not gonna make the show better. So I agree with you that like last season, I mean, we knew going like the first few weeks that Midas Touch Attack, yellow team, as long as Zach was there, that team was just a train wreck. It was a disaster. So we knew that they were not really going to get anywhere, but the show is still fun. So I agree with you in that respect. I just think that in terms of adding drama and adding weight, that making this the next four episodes in that respect so clear cut is not going to make the show better.
Okay, let's take a question from Andy Pfeiffer, who says, how will the Secret Six affect future seasons of the show and define the game being played? Mark, do you think that the Secret Six Alliance will really alter the way that this game is played in the same way that the first alliance really altered Survivor?
I will say yes, because this show is so young. It's only been around for 3 seasons. So to me, I mean, this is like watching like Daniel Reyes form a secret alliance with Jason or a Dr. Will or a Richard Hatch. The meta is being set here. So it's actually going to change the rest of the seasons moving forward. And I'm actually really excited to see that, because what can happen next? This is this is the closest we'll ever get to an all strategic show. So what's going to happen? Are we going to see like cross alliance? I mean, other types of alliances forming?
I'm not sure.
We'll see.
Dan Sinensky touches on something that we talked about a little bit earlier. Brendan, tell me, he wants to know, why can't Colby prepare anybody adequately for a victory?
Clearly, he's too busy hoarding all the knowledge for himself to win thousands of dollars on Jeopardy. He is maybe he's trying to throw everybody off. This is part of his nefarious plan to win the crown.
Okay. Matt Forsyth wants to know, what is your gender preference percentage? We covered that at the top of the show. I thought at the start of this question, I thought he meant in terms of the cast of King of the Nerds in like what men and women do we want on the show. I'm like, oh, I think 50-50 is probably a good percentage. but he wants to know, do you all wish Survivor had more cosplay challenges?
I don't know why Survivor doesn't have cosplay challenges. I think trying to watch Jeff Probst wrap his head around the idea of cosplaying and talk about Caitlyn having contempt for nerd culture. Oh my God. Can you imagine Jeff Probst watching a cosplay challenge? Just like the look of utter derision on his face watching this. So I am very much in favor of cosplay challenges for Survivor 31.
I do believe, though, that Big Brother engages in its fair share of cosplay between, you know, all the different like uniforms and unitards that people get into during the season. Mm-hmm. I feel like Big Brother is much more cosplay friendly than anything Survivor has ever done.
It's a good point, and I think they are often feeding them lines. So it's like they're embodying these characters.
Yes, it's all different parts of the same spectrum. Okay. Mark, did you have any other thoughts from this week's episode that we didn't touch on?
I actually was going to applaud King of the Nerds for actually including the rest of the cast that weren't in the Nerd Off.
They were
dressed up. They were into the challenge. I, as someone who really enjoys the show, I like seeing them not just stand around. It's a nice little touch.
Brendan, what's the best line of the night that we didn't talk about?
Ooh, I have this exactly. It is when Ori was talking about cosplaying as a battle rabbi. That was, for me, that was the hardest I laughed in the episode. That was fantastic.
A battle rabbi?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it's too bad that I don't think we're going to get any more cosplay in this season because I want to see Ori as a battle rabbi. What does that entail? I need to see this, Rob.
Wow.
Let's hope that the nerd anthems make a comeback because that would be something else.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we talked about how he's the full contact LARPer last week.
Ooh, that's it's going to get violent, I think, if there's a King of the Nerds All-Stars. And if he comes back for a LARPing challenge, everybody needs to watch out.
Yeah, it definitely could. Looks like lots of drama coming to King of the Nerds next week. Looks like Todd is going to be feuding with somebody. Mark, are we able to figure out who that is?
The previews want you to believe it's Heather, but if we've seen enough reality TV, it's probably not going to be Heather.
Okay, those tricky previews. All right, yeah. So for this week's King of the Nerds, we're very excited to see how it's going to go next week, see what ultimately develops with the alliance, and very much looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Brendan, do you have a hashtag for this episode?
I think we got to pay one last tribute to our boy Thomas. Hashtag girlfriend for Thomas.
Girlfriend for Thomas. That's great. Cool. So go ahead and tweet that if you've made it to the end of the show and you want to let us know. I don't think I gave out your Twitter handles for you two guys on the show last week. Mark, what is your Twitter handle if people want to get a hold of you?
I am at Don's Bread.
Yes.
If you want to talk to me about this show, I am here. I will gladly talk to you anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah.
2 a.m.
Hey, it's 24/7. Yeah, I'm here.
Wow. All right, Brendan, what's your Twitter handle?
I am on Twitter as @BrendanDNoel. You can keep up with me there. And I think that this week we'll see a return on Rob's website for King of the Nerds blog. So you can follow me on Twitter. Yes, big announcement, breaking news. So follow me on Twitter, and when that goes up, I will let you know.
All right. So we will be waiting with bated breath for the King of the Nerds Season 3, Episode 2 blog, talking more about King of the Nerds. Can't wait to get back and talk about the show more next week. It's been a fun season. Hope you guys like it. We've got a lot of stuff coming up this next week on Rob Has a Podcast. A lot to do getting into all of the Miss and Mr. Survivor. We're going to have all of our interviews next week. It looks like the field is set. We had some big news today, some huge news, if you will, because we heard today on the Twitter that Mr. Tony Vlachos accepted his nomination for Mr. Survivor, something I did not see coming.
This is huge. I needed this.
Yes, we all needed this. It was huge.
It really did.
Yes. And then the last domino fell when Jeremy Collins accepted his nomination. So it looks like the field of men is set on Mr. Survivor between Jeremy, Tony, and Spencer. And then over on the women's side, where we had Kelly Wentworth and Natalie, Tasha accepted her invitation, and Jacqueline was the lone holdout, and that is not looking likely at this point, barring another Tony-like last-second change of heart. It looks like the field of women is set also, and the final four becomes a final three. What do you think of that, Brendan?
I think that's a great final three for both genders. I think the voters were not, as Jeremy would say, so dumb.
Yes, these guys were not so dumb.
These guys are so dumb.
No, they were not dumb. So That's going to be a very exciting week next week here on Rob Has a Podcast. And of course, we're getting ready on Monday night for Celebrity Apprentice. It's PhoneGate. I saw Ian Ziering posted that this upcoming Monday night is the best 2 hours of reality TV of all time coming up on the Celebrity Apprentice. Are you buying or selling Ian Ziering's claim? Brendan?
I'm selling because we saw the best 2 hours of reality television ever, and it was Sharknado 2, the second one.
Yep.
That
yep.
really happened, yep. right? That was a documentary. That was my
documentary.
I've been led to believe.
Now, one way or another, hype or not, Mike Bloom and I will be live on Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, to recap it all. All right. So thanks, everybody, for making it through. Thanks, Brendan. Thanks, Mark. Another outstanding week of research on the King of the Nerds. And we'll be back next week to talk about more King of the Nerds next weekend. Take care, everybody. Bye.